The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 4. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. In a certain sense, your clothes define who you are. They give you an identity. What you wear says something about yourself. For instance, if someone wears a suit, people automatically think that you're rich and successful. If you see someone wearing hospital scrubs, you'll think that they're a nurse or a doctor. If you see someone wearing a badge and a gun holstered at their hip with some handcuffs, you'll probably think they're a police officer. I usually wear my clerical collar whenever I go down to the nursing home or to the hospital for visits, because people never ask me, "Why are you here?" It's obvious. I'm a pastor. In the epistle, Paul uses this language of clothing, taking off something and putting on something else. He commands the Ephesians to put off their old self, which belongs to their former way of life. A common problem in the first century church was that people didn't know what it meant to live in the gospel or be instructed in the gospel. They knew the gospel. They believed the gospel, and they became Christians. Yet they would then often turn around and return to their sinful lives. The old self that Paul speaks of is the old Adam, tainted by original sin, which all humanity deals with because of the flesh that's on our bones. The old self is unconverted, debased, and sinful, apart from Christ and the renewal he brings. This old Adam in us, by nature, does things displeasing to God. Now, it's often hard for most of us to relate to an old self, because most Lutherans were baptized as infants, where we put on God like a garment, as Paul says in Galatians 3:27. And so as a result, many of us can't pinpoint a time in our life when we didn't have faith in God, when we weren't trying to live a God-pleasing life, where God's words and commandments, because God's words and commandments have been set upon our hearts and our minds from our youths. But even that being the case, it's not as if we're unfamiliar with the old sinful man within us that Paul speaks of. Because though we've been baptized, the effects of original sin remain. By nature, our desire is to sin, to hate those who disagree with us, to speak deceitful lies, and ultimately to die. But that's why Paul encourages us to take off the old sinful man, much like you'd take off a dirty shirt. And having taken off that old garment, he encourages us to put on the new self, the new garment. The new self is who we are in Christ. We put on Christ like a fresh, clean, pure, spotless robe without blemish. This was given to us in our holy baptisms. where Christ's holiness and righteousness covered us, redefining who we are, giving us a new identity, not defined by what we say and think. Instead, our identity is based on who God Himself says we are. He gives us our baptismal robe, which says something about who we are now. Now, to help illustrate the garments, I'll explain the ritual for baptism in the second century. First of all, back then, baptismal fonts in the early church were like pools in the ground, with stairs on one side and then stairs on the other. But when the candidate for holy baptism came into the church, they would take off whatever clothes they had, and they descended into the baptismal waters naked. This showed that the old sinful man or woman they were descended into a watery grave because of their sin. Hence the descent into the water. But as soon as they were baptized, they received God's name. They received the forgiveness of sins. They received new birth. And they immediately ascended out from the font, put on a pure, spotless, new white garment, showing that they have died and risen with Christ, the crucified one. And now their status before the Heavenly Father was not sinner, but saint. Their garments weren't dirty and soiled, but clean and pure. This baptismal, spiritual baptismal garment changes you into a new person, giving you a new identity in Christ with a whole new set of behaviors, a whole new way of being. So this is the clothing Paul encourages us to wear. He's saying, wear your baptismal garments, be a Christian. Because the tendency for Christians is to return to their former way of living, the former clothing that was soiled from sin. In the next few verses, then, in our text, Paul tells us how to wear our clothing. He says that because we are made a new person in Christ through baptism, we are different. Our identity changes. Our behavior changes. We live differently from the old sinful flesh. And now Paul lists three different ways how what we wear is different from the world. How we speak, how we act, and how we are towards others. That is to say, the past act of our holy baptism changes the foundation of who we are and how we behave in the present. First, Paul says that we should put away falsehood and speak the truth with his neighbor. When Paul speaks of truth and falsehoods, Paul doesn't simply mean to speak factually. For example, if someone testified about factual events in a courtroom, they would say, I'm telling the truth. Well, certainly you should tell the truth factually and you shouldn't lie to your neighbor, but that's not what necessarily Paul is saying whenever he mentions truth, because truth in Scripture means something different than what our 21st century ears will perceive. Truth for the Christian is always set in God. Truth is always set in God Himself as creator of heavens and the earth, and what He reveals to us in Scripture. Primarily, His truth is revealed to us in His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. This means that God wants us to wear our baptismal garments in a way that's truthful, that confesses the truth of his Son as the only way to heaven. The early Christians viewed their faith as ultimately and exclusively true, which threatened the pluralism of religious thought in the Roman Empire. Romans promoted religious liberty, and they found the Christians' exclusive claims to truth disconcerting. Outside Christ, religious truth was ambiguous and obscure and best left up to debate. But back then, Christians were different in this regard. They didn't debate. They were certain that God chose to come to earth in the person of Jesus to bring salvation to the world. So wear your baptismal clothing for good. Speak about the message of Christ, who is the truth, to your neighbor. Confess who he is in this age of religious and ideological pluralism, and live like he is the truth too. Second, Paul says to be angry and do not sin. Now, this almost sounds as if Paul is giving us permission for anger, like a righteous anger, perhaps. But this can be translated conditionally too. If you are angry, do not sin. Now, Jesus speaks plainly about the sin of anger, that if you hate your brother, then you are guilty of murder and liable to judgment. And you may think, well, Jesus got angry at times, so why can't I? But there's a difference between Jesus and us. He's God. We aren't. Vengeance, which comes from anger, belongs to God, not us. So acting out in anger towards our neighbor is not a righteous thing for us to do. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. James 1 verse 20. So to live baptismally with our pure garments means putting away anger. Confessing your spurts of anger quickly, repenting of your anger so as not to give opportunity to the devil to tempt you to act out on your anger. When anger bubbles up, deliver your bubbling heart over to God in prayer. Pray that the Lord would restore once again your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And pray for the one who angers you. Lift them up in divine love, and your disposition towards them will no longer be defined by anger, but divine love. It seems lately that anger is something Christians have a hard time with. With an ever-changing world that distances itself from the truths of God, it leaves Christians angry and afraid. Trying to win back Christian culture and influence in the public square. But we must not think that anger should motivate us in this area. As soon as we do, we damage our identity, who we are, who we're made to be by Christ and him crucified. How you take your stance on issues is just as important to the baptismal garments you wear as the issues itself. Because Christianity is much more than a set of propositions and beliefs to stand for. Rather, Christianity is a whole new way of living, carrying a peace which surpasses all understanding. And so anger doesn't drive us to influence others. The Holy Spirit does. And lastly, Paul writes that the thief no longer steals, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Here, Paul gives an example of a sinful life that must be abandoned. Greed is replaced with generosity. Thievery was a way of life, a way of being in the ancient world, because jobs weren't plentiful back then as they are now. But the new person that we are in Christ no longer relies on such unrighteous behavior for our daily bread. Instead, we labor in our vocations with the trust that no matter what, our Heavenly Father will provide for our daily bread. And having earned our daily bread, it's the duty of a Christian to be radically generous in what's been given to them. Luke 3:11 says, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Jesus later in Luke says, "Sell your possessions and give it to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys." To live baptismally is to be incredibly generous, using our money, gift, times, talents, not putting them in storehouses, but putting them to useful service for God's kingdom. So what clothes are you wearing? Are your clothes soiled by anger, ungenerous hearts, or living in a way which doesn't confess truth, but does damage to Christ's witness? Are you wearing your new identity in Christ, renewed by the Spirit, or by yourself? Take off those old dirty clothes and put on once again the robes of righteousness that our Lord has given you in your baptism. Become restored through the forgiveness of sins. Receive his body and blood that you may grow in faith and patch up the baptismal garments you have. And may he strengthen you to wear these garments in a way which honors him. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.